Our reading this evening is taken from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. That's Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22, and that can be found on page 22 if you're using the Pew Bibles. So Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust on the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his dream, he thought, Surely the Lord is in the place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, to the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me I will give you a tenth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Chris. Let's pray as we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth contained in it and for the truth that we need to know even this evening. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In my last year at school, one of my teachers said to me, if you've got the ability to go to university, you really should go. It's such a great opportunity to learn a lot of life's lessons. Go. But I didn't want to. My life at home was so comfortable and safe. Then she said, well, apply, then take a year out, and then if you still don't want to go after that, you can cancel. So in two minds, that's what I did. As I'd be going to study German, I got a job in Germany, and I went to work there. I found a job on the edge of the Alps, down in the south of Germany. But did I really want to go? Well, the time came, 18 years old, leaving my family behind, a suitcase in either hand, a rucksack on my back, and I travelled overnight by train and ferry, and I finally arrived at my destination the following afternoon. It was winter, so it was thick snow on the ground. It was already dark as I stepped off this train onto this little station, just one platform. And I was just overwhelmed by the thought, what have I done? Right at that moment, I just felt like getting straight back on the train and going back, but I knew I couldn't. Well, I guess most of us have known situations like this. And at these times, we think deeply about what is real and what's important in our lives. And Jacob's now at that kind of a moment. We're going to look this evening at Jacob's situation as he lay down to sleep, all alone, far from home, the future unknown. And then we'll look at his encounter with God. And finally, we'll see the difference it made to Jacob. And along the way, we'll see the significance of these things for us. Well, first things first, who was Jacob? and what brought him to this place. You remember that Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, second son of Isaac and Rebekah, his older twin brother being Esau. And we know there's going to be trouble because we're told in Genesis 25 that the two jostle around in Rebekah's womb even before they're born. And God tells her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. So we know this family is not going to be a harmonious one. Isaac loves Esau, but Rebekah loves Jacob. Uh-oh. And sure enough, in Genesis 25, we read that one day Esau comes in starving from the fields, and when he smelled the wonderful lentil stew Jacob was cooking, he was so eager to get it that he gave his birthright, that is, his inheritance, his rightful inheritance as the older son. He gave that to his younger twin, Jacob. Now, you've got to be pretty hungry to give up your inheritance for a bowl of lentil stew. They'd have to pay me the inheritance for me to actually eat a bowl of lentil stew. But there's more. The name Jacob means he grasps the heel, but also he deceives. And Jacob lives up to his name in chapter 27. Isaac's getting old and he's lost his sight. And he calls for Esau to cook for him and then come to him for his blessing. It was tradition in those days for the father to bless his eldest son, in effect making him lord of his brothers and his servants. But Rebekah hears this and gets Jacob to pretend he's Esau. And in this way, Jacob deceives Isaac and receives the blessing that should have gone to Esau. So Jacob's robbed his brother twice. Right now, Jacob's a prime target for John and the Living Waters team. Have you ever told a lie? Well, maybe. Of course, when Esau finds out, he isn't best pleased by this chain of events. And he says to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother, Jacob." That's Genesis 27:41. Scheming Rebekah learns of Esau's anger and hatches a plan to get Jacob away from there by sending him to her relatives in Haran, some 600 miles north. And she persuades Isaac to let him go to find a wife. So here's the situation. Jacob's retracing the journey that Abraham had taken in the opposite direction 125 years earlier. He's walking the equivalent of John O'Groats to Land's End, but without the backup team of food, company and support, and without the hotel sleepovers. He's slonging along in hot temperatures through the wilderness to a place he doesn't know, to spend time with people he's never met. With a lot of time on his hands, many thoughts are going through his mind. Will I ever see my father again? He's close to death now. As it turns out, he did see his father again, but not his mother Rebekah. So Jacob finds himself in a bleak and barren land, out of his comfort zone, all alone. He feels vulnerable. There's no one to talk to. The sun's gone down, it's cold. And as he lays his head on a hard stone, he probably wishes he was at home in his own tent and bed. In chapter 35, verse 3, Jacob refers to this day as the day of his distress. He's at rock bottom, literally. What has he done? He's lied to and has deceived those closest to him, but it's this man that God meets. Who would have guessed it? Surely there were nicer men God could have met. Why Jacob? It's what we've been singing of. Here's God's amazing grace. God in his grace steps down. Jacob hasn't looked for this meeting. He's not praying to God. He's not crying out to God for help. He's not yet understood the consequences of his sin. In grace, God steps down. In grace, God steps down. And in a way, aren't we all Jacobs? Our natural inclinations not to seek God. We don't see the consequences of our sinning. We don't understand that we're running away from God. And that going our own way will never end well. Even as Christians, we have a tendency to choose our way over God's. But thank God that he's gracious and merciful. And if we're in Christ, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. God always starts from a position of grace. Have you found that? Everyone needs an encounter with God. He's our creator. We need to meet him, talk with him, find out more about him. Our relationship with God needs sorting out one way or another. But unfortunately, some people, perhaps even most people, put it a long way down their to-do list. Some people never get round to thinking seriously about God. There are so many other things that seem to take priority. Eat, drink, go out, socialize, go to work, update your social media profile, buy a house, dig the garden. Think about my relationship with God? Nah, I'll leave that till tomorrow. And somehow, tomorrow never comes where God's concerned. That's a dangerous place to be. Jacob was running away. And if we're honest with ourselves, before we meet God, we're all in that same position. We're all in that same condition, running away from him, avoiding him, ignoring him, turning our backs on him. We all need to encounter God. Have you reached that point yet? You need to. Don't put it off. God met with Jacob that night. We know it's a special time and occasion because it takes place at Bethel. Only Jerusalem is mentioned more times in the Old Testament than Bethel. It's where his grandfather Abraham offered up sacrifices and called upon God in chapters 12 and 13. And throughout the Old Testament, it was an important center of worship for God's people. So we know this is an important event in Jacob's life, but also in the history of God's people. So we read in our passage that God gave Jacob a revelation. God gave Jacob a revelation. God came to him in a dream. We read from verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. What did Jacob see? Well, people have different ideas as to what this stairway was like. Was it straight? Was it a spiral? Was it like an escalator? But the design doesn't matter. It's about where it leads to and what happens on it. The stairway goes between earth and heaven. It bridges the gap between Jacob and heaven. There are angels, God's messengers, on it. They're either descending to perform a task from God or ascending back to heaven after they've completed the task that God gave them. They're God's servants and messengers, there to help God's people, to guide and protect them. Jacob's not alone after all. This vision speaks directly to his need. And even better, even greater than that, is that God's there. The words translated above it can also be translated as beside him. How great's that for Jacob? God's beside him. He's right there. He's not distant or hiding away. God's taken the initiative. He's chosen to make himself known to this runaway sinner. This is grace. God's committed to Jacob. God in heaven wants a relationship with Jacob, a man who deserves none of it. He's deceived his own father and his brother. His brother wants to kill him, yet God wants to stand beside him and to be his God. How many of us can also bear witness to that kind of thing? We were a long way from any notion of God, but he took the initiative without us doing anything to make a meeting with him possible. But then there he was, right there beside us, showing us just what we needed to see at that particular moment. God's grace. It's so amazing, like we were singing. But then Almighty God speaks. Almighty God speaks. God's there beside Jacob and actually speaks to him. So what did Jacob hear? He heard, again, what God needed him to hear at that time, in that situation. God knows our needs. He's beside us. He wants to be our constant companion and friend. Have you found that? Verse 13. There beside him stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples will be blessed through you and your offspring. The surprising thing there for me is that there's no rebuke. There's no rebuke for all that Jacob had done before. No telling off. Look at the mess you've got yourself into. And it's all because you did wrong to your family. You've only got yourself to blame, Jacob. No, there's none of that. No condemnation. Just blessing and promise. And doesn't this remind us that because Jesus in grace took the punishment for our sins as he died on the cross, there's now no condemnation for those of us that are in him. For those who know we are saved because Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed on that cross. No condemnation, just blessing and promise. Praise God. Exactly what Jacob needed to hear in the circumstances he found himself in. He was away from his family, but the God of his father and his grandfather was speaking to him. He was going through a country he didn't know, but God promised that this land would belong to him. As yet, he hasn't even met a wife, but God promises that he'll have numerous descendants, implying that he will find a wife. Exactly what he needs to hear. What great reassurance. And God knows Jacob will need plenty of reassurances. God knows what Jacob will need to go through as he goes to this country far away. He will need plenty of reassurance in all that he has to face. And Jacob, you know, will have recognized God's words and promises. He will have recognized these words. I'm sure his father Isaac and Abraham before him would have said similar words to him repeatedly. Because these words contain the promises God made to Abraham in chapter 12 and verse 2, where he said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In chapter 15, God told Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And he promised him and his descendants the land he was on. These promises would have been very familiar to Jacob. He will have heard them from his father and his grandfather over and over. But up until now, God's been the God of his forefathers, not his God. That's why Jacob needs this encounter. That's why we reach. We each need our own personal encounter with God. We all reach that position. We can't rely on our parents' relationship with God to make us right with God. This is an individual and a personal relationship. From now on, God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. It's about an individual and personal relationship with God. We have to know he's our God, that is my God. The blessing Jacob received from his father Isaac was received through deception. Now what he'll receive will be through God's promise. For us, the eternal life we receive is through the grace and promise of God, not through anything we do. It is through God's promise and grace. God continues in verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God says in effect, I'm your God. I'll be with you. I'll protect you, Jacob. And all my promises for you will be fulfilled. All this despite Jacob's deceitful past. God will stand by his promises, the promises that he made to his forefathers and now to Jacob himself because of his grace and mercy. God is 100% committed to his relationship with Jacob, not because Jacob's a jolly good chap, not because he deserves it or has earned it, but because God is faithful to his promise. I don't know about you, but I find God's I will be with you promises so precious, don't you? This is God's promise to his people individually. He makes this same promise to many characters in the Bible. Isaac, Joshua, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, David. But then to all his people, as he speaks through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Haggai, and others. The list is endless. And Jesus says to his disciples, doesn't he? And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He promised to be with his people right until the time he comes again. God makes this promise many times, over and over again, all the way through the Bible. And we need to hear that same promise over and over again, don't we? When times are hard, and they're only going to get harder as we approach the time when Jesus will return, and in times of uncertainty, we need the assurance that Jacob receives and hears from God in Genesis 28. Our God's with us, and will watch over us. Wherever we go, he'll never leave us until he's done what he's promised to do. If you take nothing else away from this evening, take this promise of God and treasure it every day of your life. God is with you if you are his, wherever you go. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to Jacob that all peoples will be blessed by his offspring, the ultimate fulfillment of that is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Blessed means enjoying the favor of God, and surely there's no greater or fuller expression of this than presence with God in heaven for eternity. This is what Jesus promises. I am with you. Think about this. God's committed to his relationship with you. He's right there beside you. He wants to make that relationship right. your relationship with him to get you heading in the right way. We don't need to go to Bethel in Israel to meet with him. Paul's Bethel was on a road to Damascus. Zacchaeus was up a tree. My Bethel, where I had my first encounter with God one Easter Sunday, was a place called Langthwaite in the Yorkshire Dales. That's where I realized that God was committed to a relationship with me because of Jesus. Yours could be in the quietness of your house, or even here this evening. In John 1 and verse 51, Nathanael wasn't asking for or expecting God to meet him when Jesus called him and said, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus knows what happened to Jacob that night. And in effect, he says to Nathanael, "Remember our forefather Jacob, who God renamed Israel, and whose sons became the 12 tribes of Israel? Remember that night when he had a dream, and God promised that through his offspring, all nations would be blessed? And remember Jacob saw the stairway leading from where he was up into heaven? Well, Nathanael, I am that way into heaven. I am that stairway." Jesus identifies himself as that way, bridging heaven and earth. As angels descended and ascended on the stairway in Jacob's dream, Jesus says angels will descend and ascend on the Son of Man, a name referring to himself. Jesus is where we encounter God. Jesus is our Bethel. We don't need to meet God in a specific religious or holy place. The place isn't important. What is important is that we meet God. We only meet God through Jesus, the one who loves us and gave himself for us on the cross. Through Jesus alone. Jesus, the stairway to heaven. So I need to ask, have you known that first encounter? Has God revealed himself to you as your personal God, Saviour and Lord? You need this more than anything in your life. Please don't put it off. Find out how you can know God, or if you're already a Christian, how to know him better. Do it now. We come finally to Jacob's response to God's revelation as he wakes up. And it's an encouragement. This is an encouragement for each of us, no matter how far we are along the Christian journey. Jacob's spiritual awareness has been aroused, but he doesn't understand everything fully straight away. He wants to commemorate the event by setting up his stone pillow as a pillar and anoints it with oil. He reckons that this must be a special place. And in one sense it is, because it's where he's met God. But he gives it the name Bethel, which means house of God. We know God can't be confined to one special place, just like there's nothing special about these four walls. It just happens to be a place where God's people meet every Sunday and sometimes during the week. So it's encouraging because God doesn't expect us to know it all. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. Making us perfect is his purpose, but it'll take time as the Holy Spirit enlightens us and changes us. Some things we won't get right. We'll make mistakes. But the important thing is that we've met God. He's made us new creations. Our hearts are changed. Unfortunately, God is gracious with us. God is patient and long-suffering. Jacob doesn't get everything right. And like most of us, I guess, he wants tangible evidence that God's with him. So he makes a promise in verse 20. If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. In this respect, he reminds us, doesn't he, of Jesus' disciple Thomas, who wouldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead until he saw and touched his wounds. Some of us are like that. We want tangible evidence. But that doesn't alter God's promise. God's promises remain unchanged and unchangeable. David says in Psalm 145, verse 13, the Lord is faithful to all his promises. We just sang, we could stand. We can stand on every promise of the Lord. And Jacob responds with a promise. That's what he does in gratitude. The Lord's patience, he meets us where we are. He meets us in a way which will reassure us. But we need, though, to keep coming to him. We constantly need reassurances. We need to encounter God. We need to meet him continuously. We've not arrived as soon as we set out with God. Jacob still had 540 miles to go to Haran. He had to meet a wife, Rachel, and to have 12 children, then walk the 600 miles back. Jacob returns to Bethel in chapter 35, where God repeats the promises of chapter 28 and gives him a new name, Israel. And from him will come the 12 tribes of Israel, bearing the names of his descendants. So all along his journey, he needs more reassurances, and we need that same. We need reassurances. I don't know whether you've seen the TV program, the television program, Long Lost Family. There's people there who want help searching for long lost mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters. And the presenters turn up at homes all over the world and tell people they have family they didn't even know looking for them. And the people that are found agree to meet, and there's a wonderful reunion. And the people that are found agree to meet, I've just said that, and there's a wonderful reunion. Twice. But it doesn't stop there. They keep in touch. They phone. They visit each other. And they spend time getting to know each other. They work at the new relationship. And that's what it's like when our Heavenly Father, we didn't even know we had, comes looking for us. And we meet him. Of course, he knows us. But we need to get to know him. He steps down to meet us and draws us heavenward. He draws us into a relationship with him, a relationship where we need constant reassurances that he is with us. He will never leave us. He will fulfill all his promises to us. Encounters with God need to keep happening until that day when we meet him for the last time, when he comes again and takes us to be with himself, and we will be with him forever. On that day, he'll come accompanied by angels, again pointing to the way to heaven and to eternal life, as they did in Jacob's dream. How is it with you? Is God your companion? How's your relationship with him? Are you meeting with him regularly and often? Will your meeting with him when he comes again be a glorious reunion? What difference did it make to Jacob? It changed his whole life. Almighty God became his God. He committed himself as fully as he knew, even affecting his wallet. He promises to give a tenth of his wealth and possessions to God. Greedy and grasping Jacob becomes generous Jacob. His life's changed from that night God met him. So this passage should serve as a great encouragement for all of us, because no matter where we come from, no matter what misdemeanors are in our past, no matter how lost we feel we are, when God meets us and takes us under his wing, we can achieve great things, because we know then that God in his grace and mercy has purposes for us. He'll be with us. He'll watch over us. He'll never leave us. He'll fulfill every promise to us. Every promise. We encounter God and our lives change forever. I pray and trust that this will be the case for each one of us here this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace that you reach down. You step down to meet us, to draw us to yourself, to draw us into relationship. And when this happens, it's such a wonderful relationship that we can know you, know that you'll be with us forever, forever, eternally, we can be with you. Father, may these things be real and true in each of our lives. Speak to us, Father. Continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.